This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
I'm every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Ah, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
Now you're going to swing it?
That's my co-host Dave Rothenberg.
Booey, booey.
Oh, wow. Producer Raymond Santiago already taking shots. And, of course, we have the dawn of the show.
Where is RJ?
RJ's on vacation right now.
Well, bring him back.
Takes whatever he wants. That's RJ Santillo. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Forget about what are those? The Dositos?
I think they're Dositos. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, as always, 1-800-919-3776. We have an awesome show planned for you today. The Nets held on late. For the win in Washington, LaMarcus Aldridge came up big down the stretch, got some good defense from their assistant coach, David Vanderpool, on the sideline. Rangers, David, scored five unanswered, battled back from down 3-1 to beat the Toronto Maple Leafs 6-3. Knicks with a gotta-have tonight against the New Orleans Pelicans at the Garden. Islanders look to get themselves over 500. They host Arizona. Update you on the Giants' search for a new GM and their first head coaching request. Dave is really excited about it.
Fooey, fooey, fooey!
I have another unbelievable parachute story ready to go. Now, how dare you? You love the parachute stories. We have Zach Brown tickets, the super box bonanza, super duper box bonanza. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we have observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, I'd like to say good morning.
Shall you?
Oh, I shall. To a man.
Our sports! Sports!
Relax, relax, all right? The one and only, my best friend and yours, David Rothenberg.
Wow. That was something.
Oh.
I think. And now, how long would you say this has been going on for? A good 10 months at least?
At least. Oh, yeah, at least.
I think that might have been the best one.
I got to be honest with you. It felt good. I think it's the headset. I'm not even joking.
Stop it with the headset.
I'm telling you. It's freed me up, Dave. I'm telling you.
Freed you up for what?
I can't explain it.
What are you able to do now that 3 weeks ago you weren't able to do?
I'm not uptight. My posture is different. I'm relaxed.
So many activities.
I'm freed up for all these activities. I don't have that stupid mic stand taking up all the space. I'm getting you one.
I don't want one.
No, I'm getting you one.
I don't want one.
Right to the Comrex. They don't need any. Rodney told me you don't have to fix anything. Fresh out the box, he told me. They sound terrific.
So is that official that you are on loan? Are you keeping this thing?
Oh,
now?
I'm keeping these. Oh yeah, I am. RJ, be honest. I've been recording reads for the last week with the headset. I mean, you've noticed the difference.
He's not listening to you.
No, everything sounds great. The reads are perfect. I was listening. How dare you?
No, you weren't. No. You know why I know you weren't?
Because
when
he wants.
You guys turned on the microphone in your studio, I heard him repeating the question to you.
Because we need to. There is one minor adjustment that we were just speaking about that we need to. There was a little bit of a high peak at the very beginning.
I peaked.
Just a hair.
I got excited. You know, he's probably setting up. He's collecting payments. This guy. That's probably what he's doing for protection.
He's figuring how many points everybody owes him.
Exactly right.
Right.
He's figuring out VIG.
Yeah, certain Upper East Side gang owes me 4 points.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
He's points probably. On
I'll tell you what. The guy who's running the ring, he probably has him collecting for him.
Oh, I'm sure he does. See, Santiago understands.
I don't know.
This is your Price is Right.
I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know what? This is what the greats do. This is what you don't know. You don't know what's happening. Sure. See, that's smart. Because that way, when they bring you in, you truly don't know.
That way, when this audio is subpoenaed, I can plead, right. Plead ignorance.
I don't know points. Like LaMarcus Aldridge had a lot of points. No, RJ, points on loans, illegal loans, loan sharking. I don't know what you're talking about.
This will make it very easy down the road for me to deny this plausible deniability.
Yeah.
You really biting are, kneecaps. Though. I mean, this guy, I'm telling you right now, this guy's got, he's gotten some secret going on we don't know about. I'm
you
telling
know what
you right
he's
now.
Like, yeah, what was the movie recently? It was a Netflix movie. And Pike, is that her name? Starred in it. And she would like put elderly people in homes who weren't really ready to go in homes. Did you see that movie?
No.
It was very good.
No, I haven't seen that yet.
What's the name of the
I don't know.
Pike?
He watches the weirdest movies.
Who's Pike?
It's a good movie.
Well, why is she putting elderly people in homes that don't belong in homes?
Like, hang on a second. All right. Just hang.
This really backfired on you.
I asked you to watch Yellowstone.
You guys haven't seen quality film. Now all of a sudden it's on me?
Such quality, you don't even know what it's called.
Yeah, so because I can't remember the name, doesn't mean anything.
That? Who's Pike? You know, a Pike?
What's her name? Rosamund Pike? I don't understand how.
I ask you to watch Yellowstone. Everyone loves Yellowstone.
Okay, no. It's I Care a Lot. You never saw I Care a Lot?
No.
It's an. You got to see it.
I can't watch I can't watch Sing 2 without crying. I'm going to watch a movie about some lady putting poor elderly people into homes.
It's very well done. And I guarantee you people that are listening to the show right now, they're like, what do you mean? None of these guys have heard of I Care a Lot? Like, this is a black mark on you.
You should have led with Peter Dinklage. He's the bigger name in here.
He's not a bigger name. Well, my point is, RJ, so Peter Dinklage turns out to be this captain of the underworld.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So this is also a shot at his height is what you're doing here.
You took it like that.
Oh, I did. Okay.
That's the way you took it.
Yeah, remember? Yeah, that's like bringing up like a Willow reference. Oh, yeah, RJ reminds me of that. You know that Willow movie? How dare you?
What do you mean, how dare I?
Poor RJ.
RJ is like, he's like the Peter Dinklage of I Care a Lot. I'm not happy with RJ.
That's hurtful. I mean, that's hurtful.
So you began this insult at 5:03. It is now 5:06.
Diane Veist is in this movie?
Who would play you in a movie, Dave? Oh, I was thinking, I don't know, like Brad Pitt. What about you? I think Dinklage would be good for RJ. You're
What's wrong
guy.
With Peter Dinklage?
Nothing. He's a terrific actor.
Terrific actor. I can't believe you haven't heard of this movie. I want you to watch it.
Killed his dad on the toilet in Game of Thrones.
He's a big star, Peter Dinklage.
He's a huge star.
So the fact that I gave RJ Dinklage kind of a level of popularity that's a good thing, not a bad thing.
Yeah, I would take Dinklage.
Wow. You'd take the dink, huh? I'm going to need that, Santy. Thanks. It'll be next Thursday, please.
You can't request your own drop.
Yes, I can. Listen, I'm the one doing the opens.
What kind of an animal are you?
I'm the one doing the opens. This is all material.
You can't request your own drop.
I'm creating a script.
You can't say something and then be like, I'm gonna need that.
I'm just letting them know.
That goes against every bylaw of the drops.
No, this is like me breaking down film from a game. I'm sitting there on the bench. I see something happen. I radio up, hey, I'm going to need that.
By the way, speaking of film on the game, can we start with the hockey?
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, my.
Oh, my is right.
Oh, my. So the Rangers, they come out last night. They look dreadful. They're down 2-0. Then it's a power play, another one for Toronto, and you think to yourself, you know what, this is going to be it. And you might yell at me for this, and that's fine. I actually had the thought of, you know what? Just lose like 6-1. Don't get into this thing where you're gonna rope me back in and then you're gonna lose this painful game. If you're gonna lose it, just fine. You know what? Just lose it, play awful, lose 6-1. And they're like, No. Ryan Reeves doesn't have a goal on the season. Boom. Then the Maple Leafs go up 3-1, dominating play. Shesterkin keeps him in the game. 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, 5-3, 6-3. Boom. That's a win for the Rangers last night.
Yeah, I
mean, you're both on Rangers, huh?
I'll tell you what. The biggest question mark with the Rangers was, because you know this. I mean, you're such a hockey fan. You have your own hockey show. You get to the playoffs, it's different, right? It is. It's different. And physicality picks up, and you have to be able to win in different ways. I mean, it's, you know, finesse team has to be able to morph into a team that's, you know, can play heavy, whatever it is. They needed grit, and that was the big question mark going into the season. So you bring in Reeves, you bring in Barkley Goodrow, right? And you add these pieces. I'll tell you what, this Rangers team, the amount of talent in, you got, and I'm not shy to say this, you know, but listen, Shesterkin is maybe the best goalie in the NHL, or right there.
He was great again last night.
I'll take Vasilevsky, but I mean, Shesterkin is right there. Adam Fox, is an absolute stud. Stud. What Ryan Strom has turned himself into. I played with Ryan Strom, and this was not the Ryan Strom that I played with. Like, what he's turned himself into, and then you got Kreider's on pace to score 50.
Mm-hmm.
Panarin, Zibanejad. I mean, top to bottom, this is a really, really good team.
Yeah, that it pains you to say that, doesn't
it? Makes
it?
Me a little sick to my stomach, but I'm not afraid to say it. I'm just telling you the truth.
No, and that's what we're looking for on the show, is just pure, unadulterated honesty.
That's all I have, Dave. I have nothing but that.
And that's why everyone loves you and respects you to this level. But, by the way, we'll get into it a little bit later. We have observations in DHIF, led by Dinklage later on, 6:45.
Don't be mad at me because of what your football team's doing.
No, you're projecting. I'm mad at you because I think your take is just gross.
That's fine.
I never say this, and I'm very critical of the Giants. I think your take, you want to get into it now or you want to get into the Nets?
No,
right? You tell me.
The Nets.
I would love to see you. I mean, we're here. Santiago took shots at you in the open. Now, I mean, RJ and you are going back and forth on the Zoom. I might as well. I mean, how emotional are you going to get about the Nets?
I don't need to get emotional about the Nets, but I think we can get into the Nets, and then we'll get to the Giants in a little bit.
All right, let's sprinkle in some Nets then.
Well, what do you mean Santiago took shots at me in the open?
I tried to introduce you, and he's dropping fooies on you.
Fooey!
I didn't call for the fooey.
Oh, you never called for the fooey?
No, I didn't call for the fooey.
Oh.
He went rogue.
May have jumped the gun on that one.
By the way, people tweeting me all over the place. I Care a Lot, one of the best movies on Netflix in years, an absolute must-watch. Shame on them for having never seen it.
You haven't seen Sons of Anarchy. You never saw Breaking Bad.
So?
I
just completed Breaking Bad.
Well, yeah, just now. Just now
That's
you completed.
That's all I can do. That's all I can do. When I haven't seen something, all I can do is see it right now. That's all I can do.
Let me tell you something, too. I've been making some real bad decisions. We talked about this the other day. I actually had an opportunity yesterday to shut my eyes. Cassie's like, listen, baby's asleep. Close your eyes for 30 minutes. Take a little nap. And, of course, what did I do? Did I take her advice?
No, Yellowstone.
Yeah, I got sucked into Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Such a bad decision. But it's a terrible decision. Take the nap.
Yeah,
dummy.
No, it's a very bad decision. Yellowstone's going nowhere. But a few minutes of sleep would really help you. All right. So the Nets last night, interesting win. Kyrie Irving. And last night you saw... This is why the Nets, the fans, the teammates, everything, this is why they are willing to put up with some of the difficulties on the side that come along with Kyrie Irving. Because when he plays at that level, there's not many, if anybody, that can play the point guard position like him in the NBA.
No. Watching him play, it's like, as a Knicks fan, it's like a point guard thirst trap is what it is when you watch him. I mean, as between his handle... Gets to a spot wherever he wants, and then his ability to finish at the rim is second to none. Like, he's special, man. And I think that's what drives people crazy, is like, how can you be that good at something and not love it? You know what I mean? Like,
who's to say he doesn't love it, though?
No, but I think there's a lot of people that say that. They question how much he truly loves playing basketball.
I think he's different. I will say that. And I think that he has other priorities, but I don't think it's fair to say he doesn't love basketball.
I've heard you on the show question his love for the game, that it's not his number one priority.
Yeah, but there's a difference between not being his number one priority and not loving it.
Well, see, I don't know if that's true.
If that's not possible, then I agree with you. But I don't know why you can't love basketball and also have other things that you love, and maybe basketball is not the number one priority for you.
Yeah, I just think it's a lot of people's expectation. And I think the same thing frustrates people about Aaron Rodgers, is that when you're that good, I think as a fan, you want to believe that that's what you love and care about the most. Like, your focus is basketball or football. I think that's why. I know that's why I respect Tom Brady so much. Like,
yes.
What else does Tom Brady have to prove? Nothing.
And you're right. Like, there's a different level between Brady and Rodgers. There's a different level between Brady and Kyrie Irving. I don't know that Brady agrees with getting vaccinated, but I know that...
I don't even know if Brady is vaccinated, to be honest.
I'm sure he's vaccinated. I'm sure he is.
Okay.
You don't think he is?
I don't know.
Because I think that Tom Brady is not willing to have anything on the side distract him.
No, but it's also like LeBron James. I mean, between his school and everything he does off the court, like he's able to balance both. Like he loves basketball. You know he loves basketball. He's chasing, you know, chasing this. He calls it chasing the ghost, right? He's chasing Michael Jordan. He wants to be the greatest of all time. Tom Brady wants to be the greatest of all time, and that's what you respect. You may not like them sometimes, but you respect the hell out of him for that. But he's able to balance the two of them. Like, I know that the reason I'm able to do all these other things off the court is because I'm unbelievable on the court. So let that be my focus, and then all that extra stuff I can put, like, off. So whenever I can do it, I'll do it. But that's not going to take away from what I'm doing on the floor. Like, even, I look at his team. Look at Kevin Durant. What do we always say about Kevin Durant?
Yeah, he's singularly focused. You're right.
All he wants to do is play basketball. That's it.
Like, that's it. He doesn't want to talk to the media. He doesn't want to do with any of the side stuff that comes with basketball. He only wants to play basketball.
Have you seen what Kevin Durant is doing off the court, though? With production and investments. Like, he's a well-rounded dude, man.
He
like,
really if you look is. At,
like, check out his portfolio for a second. Like, this dude is, like, he's crushing it off the court. But that doesn't take away from what he's trying to achieve, what he's trying to accomplish. Because you look at Kyrie and you're like, oh my God, I mean, this may be the most talented guy I've ever seen play basketball. Like, this dude
he's got
everything.
And listen, if Kyrie Irving was a mediocre point guard, he wouldn't be on the team. He wouldn't.
No.
Right? They wouldn't deal with the stuff that he puts them through.
No, there's no chance. They understand how good he is and what he means to this team, even if it's just road games. Dave, it's like that in any sport, though, man. I mean, if Antonio Brown wasn't good, would he have been on
the
team?
It's like that with anything in life. You think that there are certain people at the radio station that don't have advantages that other people don't have because of who they are?
You're talking about Peter then, right? Was that a shot at Peter?
It wasn't a shot at anybody.
I felt like that was a shot at Rosenberg.
See, you just walked yourself right into
that.
Did
you hear the excuses, by the way, they're making yesterday? Oh, my God.
I loved it. And I didn't hear a lot of the show yesterday.
You heard that, though.
I was in the car taking Alex to basketball, and I heard it, and I smiled. I smiled at these excuses. All right, so the Nets on the table. Harden wasn't even very good last night, but LaMarcus Aldridge was.
Aldridge was
sensational. Kyrie was phenomenal, and they get a one-point win against Washington.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We only have 7 games left in football this year.
I know. Well, at least we have the best weekend coming up.
This is the best weekend.
Yeah.
But then there's no Saturday next weekend. And then the weekend after that, we don't have any football.
No, I know. And we got the inconsistent Knicks. At least you got the Rangers. Hopefully the Islanders turn this thing around.
Baseball hopefully will be coming our way late March, early April. But when you take football out of the equation, I really feel it.
Well, of course you do. I mean, that's your favorite.
But it's not close.
Well, yeah, because now what are you doing on the weekends?
Not my weekend. My weekends have such a feel, right? It's like family time, but then you know, you have football all Sunday, and there's this crescendo of it's football, and it's great, and then you watch it all day, then you go to bed, you do the show Monday morning, and it like there's a feel. And what's going to happen in a couple of weeks is that field that it's going to be gone.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, it gets me through the week.
It gets me through the week, and then it gets you through the weekend, and you wake up on Sunday morning. I wake up Sunday morning. I'm just like, oh, this is so good.
Yeah, you can't wait.
Can't wait.
Which is sad for us with how bad our football teams are, but still, I mean, that's just
yeah. But that just goes see, to show therein you. Lies the difference. If the Knicks stink, and they don't stink, they're very mediocre. But if the Knicks stink, I really lose my enjoyment for the NBA. If the Rangers stink, I lose probably most of any sport, really lose my enjoyment about hockey. If the Giants and or Jets stink, I would say that it's almost the same. Like I love football. Like I will watch any game, anytime, and that goes away starting in just a couple of weeks.
I know. It really is sad.
I feel like this just hit you really hard.
No, it did, because now I'm thinking about it. I mean, it's the only sport. Listen, I love hockey, obviously, and baseball is probably my second favorite sport. But as far as you know, how I get ready, how I plan my like, it's the only sport I plan my day around.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like
I do.
I can't wait to watch the pregame shows. Like it consumes my
yeah,
Sunday.
I get you. I will say this. I believe I become a much better husband and father post-football season.
Yeah, I would agree with that. For you.
Much for me, not for you. You think you're solid all the time.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I would say that.
You would agree that you're better after February, no?
Yeah, I got more time.
Right. Well, okay, and then that would be you're more involved. That's better, no?
Yeah. All right. I'll buy into that.
Yeah, listen, and I'm not trying to make people feel miserable on this Thursday morning.
That's exactly what you're doing right now.
I'm not trying to. I'm just, you know what I'm doing? I'm bringing the truth. I'm a truth speaker. And if that becomes painful and uncomfortable, then so be it.
Yeah, but it's too much truth sometimes, you know?
Sorry. I'm sorry. I really am. But it hit me, and I wanted to bring it up to you, and I'm sorry. But you know what hit me this morning? And this is not a made-up take. Would you say I very rarely, if ever, give RJ a hard time when it comes to his work, his rundowns, all the stuff that he produces for the show?
Yeah, as far as rundowns, unless he has like the where he goes away for a week, comes back, and then the information in the rundown is wrong.
Right, which is that's his thing.
Yeah,
but typically I don't beat him up for his rundowns. I think his rundowns are phenomenal. They add like little gems and pearls of wisdom and knowledge that maybe we didn't have. He has this take that, in my mind, is so bad on the Giants. So you learn yesterday that the Giants have reached out to Dan Quinn, and they want him to be ready when they hire the new GM so that the new GM can interview Dan Quinn, and if that's who he wants, maybe that's who they would hire. RJ thinks this is same old business the way the Giants handle themselves. Let me read you a little bit of the rundown they put together here. It's been made apparent from Giants ownership that the new GM will be in charge of hiring the new head coach. So why is it that the team does not have a GM, yet they're requesting to speak with Dan Quinn? Who exactly is asking permission? I realize the Giants don't want to miss out on the opportunity to hire prime coaching candidates, so then why didn't they move sooner to dismiss Dave Gettleman and Joe Judge? Dan Quinn is available. No one has hired him. The Giants probably will make a decision on their GM tomorrow, and they just want all their ducks to be in a row if that new GM has any interest in Dan Quinn. I think it's smart. He thinks it's same old Giants. What do you think?
Phooey, phooey, phooey.
I think I agree with you, but I also agree with RJ. And I'm not trying to take the easy way out. No, I'm not trying to take the easy way. I'll start with where I agree with you. Is I would interview everybody. Everybody. Because I want to pick all these guys' brains. And maybe there's, you know, a guy I didn't expect to fall in love with, and I fall in love with him. You think that the Pittsburgh Steelers thought they were going to fall in love with Mike Tomlin?
Absolutely not. Listen, you think the Giants thought, not that it worked out well, but do you think the Giants thought they were going to fall in love with Joe Judge?
Probably not. And you're also talking about Dan Quinn. I mean, you saw what he did with the Cowboys defense. He was the Cowboys defensive coordinator. That's a team you're trying to get to that level. So you pick his brain, how he does it. I mean, you saw what he did to the defense, how he turned it around. It's reconnaissance. You're trying to gather as much information as you can. Here's where I agree with RJ, though. It sounded like if it was up to John Mara, he wouldn't have fired Joe Judge. So they let him finish out the season, and then there was still some back and forth as to whether or not they would keep him. You knew Dave Gettleman was gone.
Correct.
So why not get rid of Dave Gettleman? Or, I mean, say whatever you want to say. Like, he's decided to step down
you're
now.
You're the biggest fraud I've ever met in my life.
Why am I a fraud?
Because when I said this, why are you keeping Gettleman late in the season? You took the exact tack that you're not taking.
No.
You're like, well, why? What's the difference?
No, just let him finish out. I was telling you why they were doing it. I told you why they did it.
Well, you're like, just let him finish out.
I'm not
Who
telling
cares?
You what I wasn't telling you what I was going to do. I told you what why they did it.
All right.
And then Tannenbaum agreed with me.
And Rex Ryan agreed with you. And I was on an island of why they should fire this guy. You're like, no. Just let him finish out. That's the way you do business. You're a classy organization. You don't want to embarrass the guy anymore that he's been embarrassed. And I was like, no, why wouldn't you fire him?
Whatever you wanted to do, whatever you wanted to call it. Yeah, he's decided to step down. Make something up. Just to give you the opportunity now to start the process so you don't get yourself in a spot here where RJ can use it against you that you don't have a GM yet and you're trying to interview coaches.
But I don't feel like the Giants are behind. It's not like coaches are flying off that they're going all over the place and the Giants are hiring the sixth coach of the cycle.
No, we haven't seen that yet. And it's all going to depend on when they make the decision on the GM. It actually feels like they have a pretty good idea of who they're going
to
hire now.
They're down to three. They've interviewed two of the three guys twice already. The third one's going to be today for a second interview. And Peters, I think you're going to get a new GM tomorrow for the Giants.
Okay, then RJ's rundown is...
Say it.
It means nothing then. Once they hire the GM and then the GM sits down with Dan Quinn, then you're doing it the right way.
And let me read you a tweet just to kind of hammer home the point of how wrong I think RJ's take is. Jordan Renan, you respect Jordan Renan, right?
I love Jordan Renan.
Listen to this. And see, for all the people that say, oh, Rothenberg's so negative, phooey on you. All right, Renan.
Phooey, phooey, phooey.
The most encouraging thing to take from this Giants GM search. From what I've heard, they're offering carte blanche to candidates to reshape the organization. The Giants' way of operating is about to change drastically, no matter who is hired.
That all sounds great. I'll believe it when I see it.
So you guys hear it, and it's lip service, and you don't believe it. Is that what it is?
At the moment, no. It's for your sake, I want to believe it. But again, I go back to what I said yesterday, that having Chris Mara in that meeting, it bothers me. It does. That's a weird dynamic.
Weird dynamic or not?
Like, I mean, you can promise someone whatever you want
now.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. So you don't believe it?
I'll believe it when I see it. I don't like how that's set up, and it's not changing.
Well, it's not going to change.
So I don't think my opinion is going to change.
Until you see proof.
I think RJ's point is that you did what you should have done, which is Gettleman is gone, so now don't saddle the new GM with the head coach. So you got rid of Joe Judge.
But you're not doing that.
No, I know. But his point is that you can't start interviewing head coaches if your GM's not hired yet. Because it's the GM. If the GM's getting carte blanche, then it's the GM that's supposed to be doing
it. So to me, what looks like is they're doing is the second this new GM is hired, he's going to hit the ground running and an interview with Dan Quinn will already be set
okay.
up. Why is that a bad thing?
But that makes you right. So if that's the case, that makes you right and RJ wrong. I think RJ's assumption is that Dan Quinn's going to get interviewed by John Mara, Steve Tisch, and Chris Mara.
Now, if that is what happens, that would be a misstep. But here's another tweet from Renan. He says, 12 hours ago, so the Giants put in a request to speak with Cowboys DC Dan Quinn for their head coaching vacancy. Quinn in very high demand. Giants getting their ducks in order with a GM hire on the horizon. So he makes it sound like it's all up to that new GM, and he's the one that will be talking to Dan Quinn.
I would like to believe, too, because, I mean, again, when you're interviewing these GMs, I don't know how many hours they spent doing it, but for the most part, they're usually, it's a long interview that they would ask each of these prospective GMs who they had in mind for head coach. Right? Like, and I'm sure, I mean, whoever it is, if it's Joe Shane, whoever it is that Dan Quinn probably on their list.
You would have to think so. See, you know what? Here's what I take out of this. The Giants fan is so beaten down, and the way people view the Giants is so awful that no one can even appreciate that maybe they're doing this thing the right way. Right, because
but you haven't seen him do it the right way yet, though. That's the thing. That's why, how do you trust it?
But from everything you hear, they now are. I talked to Renan. I talked to two other people this week, and they all said it's different now. Why will nobody believe that?
Because it doesn't matter what you hear. Because they've been the constant. Ownership has been the constant. And you've been, I mean, the worst team in football.
You've been the worst team in football. You're right. I can't argue that. But I have to believe it's going to be different this time. Now, quickly, the Zach Brown Band headed to Citi Field August 18th. Be listening in the 6 o'clock hour today for your chance to win. All from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock at Ticketmaster.com. RJ, do you think that we're going to look back and this rundown will just, it'll be laughable at some point soon?
Laughable?
Laughable. No. Your take, you will admit that my take was horrendous. Fooey.
So let me take you back to yesterday, okay?
Yeah. Do they ever let the GM hire the head coach?
Still a concern, I'm just saying.
You know what? You're a witness on the stand. Answer my question. Do they ever let the GM hire the head coach? Does it not feel different to you now than it has in the past?
Okay, so that's the framework, right?
So go ahead. I want to hear you wiggle your way out of this one, Dinklage.
It's so nasty.
Yeah, you're being very mean. So here's my point. If you were to take over a job and they were to say, okay, we already have somebody lined up for you. Well, why? You're going to waste a day of my time now as I have to go through trying to work my way from, no matter what you said, they're days behind and every day is precious.
They're not days. I see you're so wrong.
Okay, well, let me explain myself. That's subjective. Well, you're saying it's wrong to you. So I think they are behind. So you think they're not, that's fine. We can argue about that all day. It's subjective. But they're lining people up for a guy where you're going to hire a GM, and what if he has no interest in Dan Quinn?
Okay, but what if he does? And like Rick said, you don't think that these guys have said, Dan Quinn is someone I would be interested in. There's not a lot of hotter commodities right now on the market than Dan Quinn, right?
Well, he's one of the guys.
I think there are.
No, yeah, but RJ, the one, and I think we've said this a couple different times. I mean, Mike Tannenbaum said it the other day, is that, I mean, there's part of me, too, that agrees with it. I wouldn't mind having a new head coach that has previous head coaching experience.
That's fine.
As far as previous head coaches are concerned, Dan Quinn seems like he's
gaining steam.
Yeah. Gaining steam. Did he not take a Cowboys defense, which was not very good, and turn them into one of the best units in football?
Not very good.
Why are we arguing his credentials? I don't care about his credentials. He's probably going to be a head coach. He won't be back in Dallas. You're getting mad at things that don't exist.
All right, so then make your point. I do not understand your point.
The ownership should not be lining up anyone for anything. They should let the new GM, if he has carte blanche, like you're saying.
I think it's a terrible take. I think they are getting ahead of this, is what they're doing.
Well, they're not ahead. You can't say that they're ahead, though.
Yeah, because
there's teams already, I mean, there's teams that are already going through the interview process.
But they're saying, this is a hot commodity.
No, I know, but any of these, RJ's point is this, is that you knew that Gettleman was gone, and they chose to do, because John Mara doesn't believe, he doesn't want to fire anybody, really, so they let him, retire, have the pitcher on the field and everything else. But his point is that you are behind, because you haven't hired your GM yet. You want the GM to have carte blanche to hire whoever he wants. And there are these teams that are already going through the coach search that at any moment, could hire one of these coaches and you lose out.
Say the Giants have their sights on the GM. They've got the guy that they love, right? I don't care who it is. Pick one. Peters, whoever. And they're ready to hire the guy. They say, well, what are your thoughts on the head coach? And he says, you know what? I'm not a fan of Dan Quinn. I'd like somebody else. Does that eliminate him from contention from the position all of a sudden?
Yes.
Yeah, you cancel the interview.
Yes. Okay.
So here's my point, then great. Here's my final point. You know how we talked about Chris Mara yesterday being in the interviews and you kind of got to look over your shoulder. Rick had the quote, you can't talk to him like you would talk to someone else in that position if you were purely just a scout or a regional scout or what have you, okay? So now you already know that ownership kind of likes Dan Quinn. And do you look at Dan Quinn differently in the hiring process than you would otherwise because you want this job and you said it's a hot commodity? Now you kind of have to look at Dan Quinn a little bit differently.
No, I don't see it like that at all. Maybe you guys are right.
That's my concern.
My head is in the clouds and I'm not seeing it, but I think that you're all wrong on this one. I think they're saying if you like Dan Quinn, you now have an interview set up with him. And if you don't, then you don't even have to talk to him. But I have to imagine that all three guys probably expressed people, coaches they're interested in if and when they get the job.
Fair. And I like Dan Quinn. I think he will be a head coach again.
Yeah, but let me say this, though. Let me say this to RJ's point, though. Do you really think it was Joe Judge that decided Jason Garrett was going to be his offensive coordinator?
No, absolutely not.
Oh, so, they have a there's a track record of it.
100%, I do not. But I think it's different this time.
I hope so.
I do.
I just know, listen, it all sounds great, and for your sake, I hope it's the truth. But once you have owners that want to be involved in decisions, they can say what they want. At the end of the day, they can't help themselves. They can't because they own the team.
Now, if we hear that they hire, fill in the blank for the GM, and it's told, we really like Dan Quinn and he's pushed into going that direction, then RJ, I will apologize and I will fall on the sword and I am wrong. I do not believe this time that is the case.
You don't have to. All I'm saying is I'm going off their actions, which is they're saying the GM will be able to do whatever he wants, yet they're lining up interviews.
Do you at least see my point?
Yes, I 100% see your point. You're going off Jordan's points, and Jordan is well-sourced and he's embedded in the team. I'm waiting to see the actions. That's all. We can argue for days on this because we're coming at it from different angles, and the actions will eventually play out, and we'll see who's right.
I'd prefer not to argue for days.
No, we see it too often, though. See, that's the thing, that we see it so often, man. I mean, you saw it with. I know you don't like to make me the comparison between the Jets and the Giants. You saw the same thing with the Jets and what they were trying to do. Oh yeah, you can have the job, but we want to pick your staff. Or hey, Joe Judge, we'll give you the job, but we would really like Jason Garrett as your offensive coordinator.
See, people don't understand what you're... See, this is the problem now. You're saying stuff, and then people are taking it the wrong way. Even Hinkie Haynes, he says, I actually agree that it would be a big mistake for them to hire a coach before they hire a GM. That's not what's going to happen.
No, that's not what's going to happen. No,
I mean,
they can't
my
do that.
God.
God forbid they did that.
If that happens, then, I give up.
You'd write a letter. Tell me you wouldn't write a letter.
I would construct a letter live on the air and send it in. And I've done it before.
I know.
Do you know I have a beautiful framed letter from Wellington Mara?
I do.
Beautiful.
I do. And listen, hopefully they're going back to... It's been a while since they've done it, and hopefully they stay true to their word.
That's all we want.
I'm rooting for it to...
No, you're rooting for this thing to blow up.
No, I don't root... To be right, I root for things to be interesting. You know that. I root for content. I have nothing against the Giants. You think I want to come in here every day and talk about teams that win four games a year?
No.
That's not good for business.
So you want to see this play out well?
Yes.
So you know what I've heard as a real possibility, RJ, and let me get your take on this because you are a Niners fan through and through. Peters Ryans.
Yes. Great hire.
I would think that was tremendous.
DeMeco Ryans, it might be a year early, but it's one of those things where we saw it with Sean McVay. Not that he's going to be the next Sean McVay. With these young coaches, you kind of got to go a year early rather than wait and let him get that year of seasoning. But yeah, the Niners defense is not as good as they're playing. But
so if the Giants went with that combination, you would take notice.
Yeah. All the names involved sound like really intriguing pieces. I think they're on the right path as well. I'm just saying I do have... some concerns. That's
but I mean, Dave, you're still trying to figure out your quarterback situation. I mean,
absolutely. It's going to be Daniel Jones, though.
No, I think it's going to be Daniel Jones, too. But again, I mean, who do you want working with Daniel Jones? Like, the best way to get the best way to get the best offensive coordinator is to make him your head coach. And that's the best way to get a guy that you want.
Listen, Dable's a very intriguing guy for me.
I like him, too.
Yeah, I don't know how you couldn't.
Thanks for listening to the DPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
We have K-Sho really squirmy. We have me looking like a genius, which is, that
nothing
happens.
New. Yeah,
happens,
nothing
right. We have RJ, the 5'10", 170-pound RJ Santillo. Playing on the offensive and defensive lines. He will be doing observations in DHIF. This is all within the next 22 minutes, Rick. All of that.
It's a lot to fit in. Are we going to be able to fit it in is the question.
Well, we'll fit it in.
Did I catch you tease yourself going into the last break?
Yeah. It was genius. What I said was so spot on. And the reason it makes me feel more vindicated is because, what do you mean, did you catch me? That's exactly what I did, and you're my co-host. I was not trying to put one past the goalie here.
No, I've never heard you just tease like you teased yourself.
Because it was such a great. You want to hear what it is?
I would love to hear what it is. Yeah, you got me at the edge of my seat.
All right, so now you're gonna swing it. Do you remember what I said on Monday? I said it felt like the moment was too big for the Cowboys.
You did say that. Yep.
Okay. And you? Well, I wouldn't say it was too big. I'm like, well, Rick would know. Rick was the player, and he has that locker room experience. So he says not too big. Okay. And then I asked Rex Ryan, and Rex says, no, not too big. And I feel belittled. I feel like these are two guys that probably know more about the dynamic of the game than I do. And all right, clearly I was wrong. Did you hear what Mike McCarthy had to say yesterday?
I did.
Let me read you the quote. You tell me who's right here. Mike McCarthy described his Cowboys as being nervous entering the playoff game, saying he sensed it during the pregame prayer and it felt like it inhibited them early in the loss to the Niners. In fact, you don't need to hear it from me. Here is the head coach, hopefully remains that way, of the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy.
Thought we were nervous to start the game. Felt it in the locker room at the team prayer, but I thought we fought through that. We held them to field goals, and I think once our guys settled in, thought that, you know, it balanced out and the competitiveness there. But, you know, the up and down was a challenge. You know, the offense not getting into a rhythm. Thought the defense played stronger in the second half, gave us a chance to stay in the game, and, you know, we needed to make a couple more plays on offense.
RJ, you said there's a follow-up where he tries to walk this back?
Why would your team be nervous? That the pressure of needing to win, wanting to win, having to win?
Well, let me take the word nervous back. I mean, it was a little angst, okay, which I think just like anything. I mean, it's just, I mean, they're excited. They had a great week of practice. I thought the pregame was good, but, you know, I just think that maybe it was the first time we were doing this as a whole. Maybe it was two guys. You know, they were a little cleaner than we were at the beginning of the game. That's just the facts.
I mean, you wonder why I teased what I teased. I mean, how good was my take now?
That's a good take. I mean, that's a bad, awful look for Mike McCarthy.
Awful.
Yeah, you already said it.
Even if that's true, why would you say that?
But it's your job, though, man. I mean, he doesn't call plays on the offensive side of the ball. He doesn't run the defense. That's his job. If he's in the locker room before the game and he realizes that his team's a little on edge, there, I wouldn't use the word nervous. I think we all feel a certain way before a game where it's excitement, but it's also like angst is probably the word. Until you kick off and you settle in.
That did not happen for them.
They
looked overwhelmed, like I said on Monday. Like he corroborated yesterday. That game...
It's a bad start. Here's what happens, though.
The game was too big for them.
No, but Dave, I'm telling you right now, they had more pressure. Guaranteed. I mean, that goes without saying.
More pressure on them, yep.
But you always feel that. Like, I played with guys that would go puke before a game because there was so much nervous energy. They would go vomit before every single game. They would have to go puke to get themselves ready to go play because they had that much nervous energy built up. And then you start. Hopefully you can slow things down. And fingers crossed it's a good start because now, okay, tension's eased and you can get rolling. They got off to a bad start. So now all of a sudden that it's real now. Like now you're nervous going in because you don't know how it's going to turn out. We had a good week of practice. You lean on all those things, your preparation, and then... Unfortunately for Dallas, they get off to a slow start, and that's when it really hits you. It's like, oh no, this is not what I envisioned.
I love that he says they were nervous, and then he's asked again. He's like, no, well, not nervous. They were nervous.
That does not make him like Santi's in my ear saying that does not make him look good. That makes
none
him
of it makes him look
no, 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 no. It makes him look terrible. But that's another example of him saying whatever he thinks will make him look better in the moment. And he realized that it made him look like an idiot, and that's why he tried to walk it back.
And then he walked it back.
But that's another example. If you remember when he got introduced as the head coach, he said something along the lines of like, oh yeah, I would tell Jerry, I told Jerry and Steven whatever they wanted to hear to get the job. And then Steven Jones kind of laughed nervously. It's the same thing.
Well, didn't they have a sleepover?
Oh, yeah.
That's what they say.
At the Jones compound.
There were a lot of things Mike McCarthy said that angered me.
So
they're like, Zeke Elliott tore his PCL in week four.
Yeah, let's load him up with carries.
And then we run him 21 times against the Giants for 100 yards. Yeah, he definitely had a torn PCL for that game.
That is priority number one, though. In his mind, how that made sense to say something, that's stupid.
Yeah, it's great.
That's job number one. Like, why do you think we heard the... Why do you think we heard what we heard from Ben Roethlisberger? You think that was an independent thought, or was that what Mike Tomlin was selling to the entire team? No one thinks we have a chance. No, everyone thinks we're the worst team in the playoffs.
Yeah, but we're not comparing Tomlin to Mike McCarthy.
No, we're not, and for good reason. But you see now you understand why Mike Tomlin's teams never finish under 500.
Because
that's the goal of the head coach. You can't. Everyone knows plays and X's and O's and everything else. It's knowing, having the pulse of your team and knowing what they need on a given day to get them where they need to be.
Well, when he said that yesterday, I felt really good.
You feel like your team is nervous. You loosen them up, lighten the mood before the game.
Well, he can't. I don't think he's capable.
Obviously not.
Yep. How about this now? The Zach Brown Band headed to Citi Field August the 18th. Be the first caller right now, 888-987-ESPN, to score a pair of tickets. All brought to you by Live Nation. Zach Brown Band tickets go on sale tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, at Ticketmaster.com. All right, so we'll give those tickets away right now. This is wonderful. And again, we're not cocky. Our heads are down. We're very, very focused, right, with our picks against the K-Show?
Yep.
You heard what they said yesterday, didn't you?
Oh, I heard it. And I loved
every
second of
it. Now, you know what's funny to me is 5-6 weeks ago, Rosenberg was laughing. He's like, those guys think they're such football savants. They stink, right? They were mocking us, but maybe they did it a little bit too early. Now they're walking it back. You want to hear their tails between their legs yesterday with excuses?
Nothing would make me happy.
More excuses, McCarthy or the K-Show?
Oh,
good question.
That's a great. I'm going K-Show.
All right, let's take a listen. Here is the excuse laden Michael K-Show on why we've come back against them in the football pick.
We don't put enough effort into that. Assume that we're so much smarter than them that we're going to win easily.
And we're too focused on our own internecine battles.
Oh, look at you dropping an internecine.
I know internecine. Internecine. I know it's right up your alley.
Mm-hmm.
I told you what the problem was. Problem is they get to, after they make their picks in the morning, can sit there and spend all the time in the world until they call up our show on Friday to make the pick. We don't know what we're going to do because we don't want to reveal what tip our hand. And so we have like 30 seconds after we're done with the picks to make a decision. We don't put any thought into it. We've got no way around it.
We got to get our life together, guys. It's not right.
It's funny how when they were
right,
getting them right, that was never an issue.
They are big excuse makers, huh?
Yeah.
I never realized. Like
what happens.
Peter, I can see. Don surprises me.
Well, because I think it really bothers Don. I think it aggravates Don.
They had a 5-game lead.
Oh, they were cruising.
They were laughing at us.
I mean, this is the equivalent of, I mean, this is Falcons Patriots Super Bowl kind of
thing. It was 28-3. Third quarter, and now we're tied. And now what do we do? We have three more weeks.
All the pressure has now swung to them.
They are the Cowboys pressure of this.
And we have first pick tomorrow.
That's right. Oh. And only 4 games to choose from.
Oh.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It's a tough week, too.
Here's the thing, Rick. Every week is tough. We put our heads down, we grind like we always do, and we get a winning selection.
But you know why, Dave? Let me explain something to you.
But we have all day. We have all day to go back and forth. But we didn't have all day 10 weeks ago, did we?
No, but we don't have all day. We go over the picks that we like, the three or four that we like, and then we know who we're taking by noon.
It's such a bad look for them, though. The excuses are pathetic.
But here's what they underestimate, right? Is the amount of time and effort we put into these picks, and how much football you consume, and what happens, and why. You know, why teams that are competing for championships need those superstars? Because you know what the superstars are able to do? They're able to put all that nervous energy aside, slow everything down, and make it just another game. Joe Burrow talked about that the other day. That's what Eli Manning was great at doing. It's just another game. It's just another pick for us because we put in the work. And then you rise to the occasion. You step up in that moment. Everything slows down. And then out of your mouth,
yep,
comes yet another
winning pick. 8-1. We should open up a 900 number.
Let's not get carried away. Let's finish. Let's see this through. And then maybe that seems like the logical next step.
And again, I'm not overly confident. If we beat them in the picks, I mean, we have to do something just outrageous.
You know what I'll do?
What?
I'm going to rent a billboard in New York City.
Stop it. Stop saying this kind of stuff.
Why don't we rent a billboard? We could do that.
How much is a billboard?
I'll look it up right now.
I think a West Side Highway kind of thing?
West Side Highway billboard. Yeah, let's look it up. I think that's what we do. Oh,
would that be great?
Oh, my God, would that be great?
I don't want to spend like $9,000.
No, maybe we put RJ stats up there, too, to show him off a little bit.
Led by producer RJ Santillo at 5'10", 170.
5'10", 170.
Yeah.
Offensive and defensive lines.
That's right. We could do that.
Yeah, I think you'd appreciate it.
You look that up. Why don't you do some billboard research, and we will move our attention to a little Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contracts and no compromise. I don't want to shortchange RJ Santillo. I'm so funny.
It doesn't stop.
I can't. Why don't we get to little observations and.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are knobservations.
Ah, yes. I've taken some abuse this morning. Knobservations brought to you by Jack Pocket. It's okay. It's like I say, when we don't make fun of you, that's when you should be concerned. So, we begin today. Not that he's a knob, not that he's even a story, but I want to make sure you saw this, Dave, before we get going. A certain national title-winning quarterback is going back to Georgia.
Betson Stetson.
Stetson Bennett. Mm-hmm. Back at Georgia. Was there a doubt that he was leaving? I guess I missed that.
JT Daniels in the transfer portal.
Yeah, not going to get his job back. Sad. Anyways, so let's get going here. On the Manning cast on Monday, the Rams ran a quarterback sneak a couple of times in a row, in fact, for Matthew Stafford. I think it was his first rushing touchdown in 4 or 5 years.
You love this story, don't you?
Did you see this?
No, but I know where it's going.
Hmm. Well, I didn't do anything. So as Stafford took the ball into the end zone, it was a little close, and you know, they're reviewing the play, and here's how it played out on ESPN2 on the Manning cast.
Eli, at least the Rams are sneaking it down by the goal line, unlike the Giants who sneak like
he's in right
in the
there.
Open field.
Touchdown.
Yeah.
No comment. No comment. Yeah, it was it was unscouted. The team had not seen that. You know, Washington had not seen that before. But
Eli's so funny.
He is good.
Eli, I think, was the big star of the Manning cast.
He's very funny. Why don't you book him for the show next week?
I'd love to.
Okay, great.
You're very close to him. Make it happen.
Very.
Make it happen. All righty. So this is, I'm surprised this didn't come up sooner. Going back a few days, Leon Draisaitl was being asked some tough questions by a Hall of Fame reporter. Am I saying this correctly, Dave? Jim Matheson?
Yes.
Jim Matheson, who I believe Alan Hahn is very close with.
Really?
Yeah. So the Oilers are going through a rough stretch in Edmonton, and here was the back and forth.
Lots of reasons for why the Oilers are playing the way they are in terms of winning and losing. What do you think is the number one reason for the losses now? Is there one thing that you, in your own mind, you're saying, we got to get better at that?
Yeah, we have to get better at everything.
Would you like to expand on that?
Nope. You can do that. You know everything.
Why are you so pissy, Leon? Why are you so pissy?
I'm not. I'm just answering your
question. Yeah, you are. Whenever I ask you a question.
I gave you an answer.
Not very good one.
Okay.
I have one more for you. Leon, you show your frustration on the ice last game against Ottawa. Is that a good thing when you show it so the other team knows you're frustrated?
Yeah, it's a great thing, for sure.
Good.
Yeah. So I know the K-Show talked about this too, and you know, they were on opposite sides. Where do you guys fall in terms of who's being the bigger knob here?
Now, Rick, we haven't discussed this. I have to think with your playing background, you are typically the side of the players. You're going to take the Draisaitl side, right?
Well, no, I think they're both being knobs in this situation.
I mean,
I think
the
reporter's the bigger knob because he just kept. I mean, he kept going. Like, why are you being
pissy? I don't think Draisaitl doesn't look great. Now, first of all, they have a history where they don't like each other.
Yeah, I mean, they're in the middle of a 6-game losing streak. They have high expectations, and you heard him. You know everything. So the articles that he's writing are obviously negative articles, and the guys in the locker room read them and they know. To the point, like we've had times where we had, and Hahn. It doesn't surprise me that Hahn's good friends with him because Hahn would write articles like this, and he would ask questions like that to the point where Hahn got boycotted in the locker room.
So Hahn was not well liked.
Like if Hahn came into a scrum, there'll be times like if a reporter like does something or just has a nasty article, whatever it is, where if that reporter comes into the scrum, the guy won't answer any questions until that reporter is forced out of the scrum.
Isn't that immature?
Yes. Yes, it is. But here's the thing, though. What frustrates athletes is that a lot of what people think about your team and that athlete is dictated by the stories that they read and what the media say. So, I mean, if you're writing negative stuff and you don't, I mean,
Well, they've lost six in a row. What are you going to put these beautiful, flowing articles
out
there?
It depends. I mean, I haven't read his articles. If he's taking, you know, personal shots at guys or whatever it ends up being, it just makes it harder on. I mean, it ramps up everything.
I get it. But here's the thing that I will say to defend the reporter and what he's done in the past. I don't know that relationship, so I don't know.
It's clearly not a good. It's clearly not a good. Relationship.
Obviously, it's not a good relationship. His original question was not bad,
but you're not wrong, and that's why I think it both are being the knobs. Draisaitl went into that interview knowing that the second that guy answers a question, I'm going to be a jerk about it.
Like that was his
the
goal.
Intent was to be a jerk to that reporter.
Yeah, that was his goal. I'm going to be a jerk, and he was very successful.
You know what would have been funny though if the follow up was from the woman that asked, "Do you have any New Year's resolutions?"
Yeah, I love that. Why are you so pissy? Such a great line. What? And then he repeats it. Why are you so pissy? I can't say that.
They should put those two people together.
Hi, football aside, sorry, but I'm doing a story about New Year's resolutions, and I was just wondering if you had any you wanted to share with your fans and our readers.
Yeah, no, not right now.
Okay,
that was Bill Belichick. And give her credit, because 1 week later...
New Year's Eve Day, have you had a chance to consider any New Year's resolutions since I asked you on Sunday?
Yeah, they would all be personal, so it probably wouldn't mean anything to you anyway. Thank you.
Oh, she never tried for the follow-up in the exit interviews, did she?
Oh, my God.
She's resilient.
The first time she asked it, wasn't it after that Bills loss?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You just got carved up by Josh Allen. You have any New Year's resolutions?
Football aside.
football aside. The guy, I mean, all we have ever heard from this guy in his entire life is all he sleeps at the facility. He's all football. That's all he cares about. They're priming for the postseason. Coach, football aside, you have any New Year's resolutions? Yes. I want to lose 9 pounds.
All righty. We spent some time in Dallas. We have one more story here. Troy Aikman yesterday.
I love this.
Had some very harsh words for the play calling of the Cowboys on 96.7 The Ticket.
There was a lot of single coverage on CeeDee Lamb. It was back when I was playing, and I hate going back to that point because nobody cares. But what I see around the leagues, not just Dallas, it was in Philadelphia, I've seen it with a lot of teams, that a lot of these offenses, they want to scheme things. The coordinators just, it's all about scheme. Rather than this corner is playing soft, he's scared to death, just run the route tree. Urban would have had 10 catches at halftime if they had played us the way that they played CeeDee Lamb. The game's not that difficult. If I've got a great player at wide receiver and a corner is playing him single coverage, throw him the ball. Yeah. You know, he's going to win most of the time.
Great. I could talk about this ad nauseum. Just
CeeDee Lamb was a disappointment in that game.
Disappointment. He was an embarrassment, and they had one catch.
Wow. Yeah, but football aside.
Football aside, does he have any New Year's resolutions?
Probably could CeeDee Lamb the ball more, I guess.
Sounds like it.
All righty, Raymond.
Catch.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
Man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
Now, this is far from the best one that's ever been done in this space, but it's one of my personal favorites. So today we tell the story of a man, a very desperate man for money. And what do people do when they need money? They do crazy things. So a man, he breaks into a store. I'm not sure if it was a museum or if it's a pawn shop, whatever it is.
Wait. There's a far difference from a museum to a pawn shop.
Right, but it's unnamed where it was taken from. In the article. So he steals more than $30,000 in rare coins. So what does he do with them? This is the second part. Maybe you don't think you're going to get away with it, and you're like, what do I do when I get to the other side when I need the money now? So where do you cash in $30,000 in rare missing coins? Is there a huge market for them? Apparently not. Because this gentleman, Anthony... He takes the coins, these presidential coins, valued at about $1,000 each. A little more. So some quick math would tell you that he's got about 350 grand he's sitting on. Yeah. So what do you do? Well, he hits up a pawn shop, a different one, if it were in fact a pawn shop. Sells about 4 grand worth of coins. What does he do with the rest of them? He goes to a Coinstar machine and just starts pumping these bad boys in there. So the Coinstar machine would only give them what they're literally worth. So if you have a dollar coin that no matter how rare that's worth a dollar, it's only giving you a dollar.
And it's valued at $1,000.
Each.
Wow.
So
this is a genius, this guy.
So he takes $350,000 as their worth, and he walks away with about $5,000. And the Coinstar, that's actually how they caught him, too.
Well, of course that's how he caught him.
So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
It has to be, right?
It has to be Florida.
I think it has to be, yeah. I'm going to go Florida.
Yeah, but burglary aside, do you think that he's happy with the fight? I'm saying that 1,000% Florida.
Raymond?
Yeah, I guess I'll follow suit and go Florida.
Oh, it's a clean sweep. I mean, you knew it. You knew it when you heard it. But a special thing that only the state of Florida can produce, and only the content.
Coinstar machine. Oh my God!
I'm gonna steal these rare coins and then throw them in a Coinstar machine.
How good is that? So what is he getting, a dollar back for each one then?
Something like that, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah.
There was a lot of coins there.
Yeah, but what makes it worse, though, is he already had sold them at a pawn shop and has a pretty good idea of what they're actually worth.
Well, he knows what they're worth.
Yeah, I don't think he actually thought he'd get away with it. What do I do when I get the coins?
Coinstar machine would take the approximate value.
What a ridiculous... That's your take? How in the world did the Coinstar machine have any idea?
No, that's not the take. That's not the take, dummy. I'm saying he thought that's what he thought. Clearly.
I believe that's
how come
what you
this
thought.
Coinstar that's machine a- doesn't appraise these coins?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.